Well, just going back over this past week, the data out of the United States is still relatively firm. And this is a problem in some senses because obviously we've had issues with certain specific banks and we've had specific arrangements to deal with those issues in those banks in the US. And you'd have to say that in the US it looks as if it's been pretty well ring-fenced, those issues relating to banks in the US. I'll get to Europe in a minute because obviously there's some slightly different issues there. So when the Fed met this week, over the course of the last week, still its main issue is got to get on top of inflation, keep it going down because inflation has been coming down relatively slowly. And so at the Fed meeting, they still lifted heights, the funds rate, by 25 basis points to 5% from 4.75%. And the commentary that came through with it, yes, they're keeping an eye obviously on banks and they have to do specific issues for them, which can at times work in the opposite direction to monetary policy. But still, they are expecting that they may be able to go more slowly with interest rates, but still they're expecting that interest rates will have to stay at these levels, if not a little higher, for quite some time to come. And the data tends to reinforce that. There wasn't a lot of it last week, but it was leading edge stuff like existing home sales for the month of February. They were expected to lift by 5%. They lifted by 14.5%. So if anything, there's a second wind coming back into the home building sector in the US. And it was there in the home building permits too. Home building permits, they were expected to rise, and reasonably sharply after a fall the previous month. They lifted, though, by 15.1%. So, again, pretty strong rise. If you go to the goods sector of the US economy, as is the case in many other countries overseas, that is showing some signs of slowing. So we had February durable goods orders came out for the most recent month, and they fell another 1% after being down 5%. And everywhere you look around the world, there's been this shift in consumer demand away from goods towards services. The goods sectors are starting to show the pain, but they're one of the few sectors that are. And we had weekly initial jobless claims came out. These are still sitting very, very low, down at 191,000 for the most recent week, compared with 192,000 the previous week. They're sub 200,000. They're still indicative of non-farm payrolls on a monthly basis when they come out, being well north of 200, even 300,000, much as they have been the last 2 months. And that means still way too tight a labour market to allow inflation to come down anywhere near the Fed's target over the next year and a half to 2 years. So, the issue we have in markets is that the market sees what they think is a banking crisis and that's going to change direction. Everything has to change on that. And you've had the bond market, which has rallied very, very powerfully over the course of this last month. And the issue now is that we've got bond yields across the US bond yield curve sitting well below the current funds rate. And maybe at the longer end that you can justify that to some degree. The shorter end you can't. 12-month security in the US is now down around the 4.2% mark when you've got the funds rate up at 5. As we get more of this still fairly firm data indicating that the Fed can't blink in the inflation fight for quite some time to come, that's where it's going to be a bit problematic, and we should expect some pretty extreme volatility at times. The fall in yields we've seen, they've gone to yields which are unsustainably low now in the type of environment that the Fed, on balance, will be facing over this next year or so. So, looking into the data releases this week, we've got things like pending home sales come out on Wednesday. Going back last month, January pending home sales were very strong. They were up 8.1%. So the market thinks that'll come down about 3%. It may, but it's still going to be a pretty strong result over January and February. We'll be watching initial jobless claims on Thursday again. That comes through. But probably, the key reports are the February personal consumption expenditure deflators, these alternative inflation measures, which are actually much favoured by the Fed. They'll come out on Friday. And going back, the February personal consumption expenditure deflator, going back to January, was up 5.4% year on year. It's not expected to be too much less than that for the month of February when we get that on Friday. And core personal consumption expenditure deflator is at 4.7%. These are still way, way too high relative to the 2% inflation target. And now they're only trickling down, in some cases reversing and going in the opposite direction. So yeah, this is somewhat problematic. We'll also get some February personal income and personal consumption data coming out at the same time. These were strong going back to January. Personal income was up 0.6%. It's expected to be up another 0.3% in February. Personal consumption expenditure was huge in January. It was up 1.8%. And we're expecting another rise on top of that at 0.3%. So yeah, these underpinnings inside the US economy still very, very firm. And what's driving it largely is, yeah, we have had some pullback in inflation, but incomes in the US are running above inflation now. So you're actually getting real income growth. Yeah, in the past, it's always been consistent with very strong demand, notwithstanding, you know, the issues you've got swirling around banks and these sorts of bits and pieces. So yeah, this is the conundrum that's facing the Federal Reserve as they go ahead, but you know, still looking at really holding the current interest rate structure at least over the next 9 to 12 months. And you know, the risk is that it will need to go higher. And it's notwithstanding if you get the odd issue in some other regional bank, which they will contain in much the same way as they dealt with Silicon Valley Bank and also the bank in New York. Now, in China, China's an interesting case because it's going to be the one economy we can say with some certainty that will be lifting in terms of economic activity through the course of this year. It will be one of the most important contributors to global economic growth. It's rebounding out of all those restrictions they had, which have been released going back. And we've seen it in some of the leading indicators. And this week, there was nothing really of note last week in China, but this week we get the March manufacturing PMI and the March non-manufacturing PMI. Both of these had really good increases going back to the month of February and are now well and truly into expansionary territory. In February, the manufacturing PMI lifted to 52.6. It was at 50.1 the month before that. This coming month, they think there might be some settling back because all the way around the world, you know, manufacturing is the area that's not doing too well. But maybe China's different. You know, I think the market might be underestimating the type of PMI result we might get on Friday. And the non-manufacturing PMI, this is the services sector, you know, goes into things like retail sales and all these sorts of bits and pieces. Well, that's lifted. Going back to February, yeah, we had that lifting to 56.3. That's a very strong reading by Chinese standards. Again, the market thinks it might settle back a bit to 54.3, but yeah, that would still be a very, very strong result. So these sorts of numbers coming out of China, they point to growth coming through. It's not going to be, you know, historic 6% plus growth that we've had on average over the last two decades. You know, at the People's Congress meeting going back to the beginning of March, they were thinking in terms of aiming for around about 5%, and that looked optimistic. But it will be accelerating, and that's going to be so different from what we see in most other countries around the world. Just moving to Australia, and last week, you know, we had the minutes of the last RBA meeting, and some interesting discussion in there. Australia's difference from the US and to a degree Europe as well, in the sense that, you know, the data has been more mixed strength. You'd expect that because we had very, very high household debt relative to other countries and much of its variable rate, and we had, where we had fixed rates, we had this cliff that was approaching and all these bits and pieces. So you would have expected that demand would be more responsive to interest rates, and there have been some signs of that in some of the data over the course of the last month or two. The RBA has noted that it wants to take a pause, really, to just assess that, to see whether what they've done so far and what's still in the pipeline coming through may be having the effect they want in terms of containing inflation. It's the one central bank which is in a position, actually, to take a reasonable pause. Well, actually, one's already done it, and that's the Bank of Canada. Bank of Canada paused at its last meeting, but others, of course, are still raising rates. And so the RBA minutes said, look, you know, we could consider a pause in April, depending on, you know, how the data pans out ahead of that meeting, and that, you know, if inflation comes back. Well, we've got a few readings just straight ahead of the meeting. You know, it's not this week; it's the following week when we get the Reserve Bank Board meeting. But this week, key one, February retail sales. We had a lift of 1.9% month on month going back to the January. That was after a very big fall the month before, where it fell by 4%. So we've had a bit of volatility through that. Market thinks a lift of perhaps 0.4%. If it's around that sort of measure, that's actually quite consistent with the Reserve Bank being able to pause. If you're getting up towards 1% lift in retail sales, then it's more likely the RBA needs to do another 25 basis points when it meets the following week. But I think there's a fair chance it's going to be in the lower end of the range for the month of February. We also get the February CPI. This is the new CPI. Well, it's an addition, really, to the quarterly CPI. And last month, in January, the monthly CPI came down quite sharply from 8.4% in December year-on-year to 7.4% in the month of January. Now, February, market thinks will come down to 7.1. If we get down to that or a little bit lower, again, plays to the cards of the Reserve Bank maybe pausing when we get to the April meeting. But, you know, obviously can't afford to have, you know, upside surprises on that. We also get some credit data that's going to be fairly much immaterial to the Reserve Bank and its decision. This is the stock of credit, not the new stuff coming through at the leading edge. It's been rising at only about 0.4% month on month over recent months. It's expected to be about the same in the month of February. The other thing that probably the Reserve Bank may watch is that, you know, we've had an election result in New South Wales which clearly moved to Labor. Labor's the new government here. And one of the promises of the Labor government here is to scrap the caps that have been there on public sector pay. Now, remembering that New South Wales is the single biggest state economy, and you know, if you scrap the caps on these things for teachers, paramedics, for nurses, and all of these, you know, we could get a flurry of pretty big wage rises coming through. So yeah, it's an issue in a way for the Reserve Bank. If we can afford some lift in pay in those sectors, but not a runaway, you know, and that's the problem, you know, with the promise that we're going to take the cap off. It may become an issue down the track as far as the RBA is concerned. So it's going to be complex going into the April meeting. My leaning is towards a pause. You know, I think the data's going to fall the right way. You know, I think they do want to have time to assess whether 3.6 is the top of the cash rates for the time being. I'm cautiously saying probably yes, but want to wait and see how, you know, data really pans out. And it's worthwhile noting there's some differences elsewhere, and not least of which is, of course, in Europe, where, yeah, you have got some indications that demand's coming back in Europe. You've got a swirling banking crisis, not really yet, but developing, where, you know, people started to worry about Deutsche Bank last week. You know, Swiss Bank, Credit Suisse got sorted out by Swiss National Bank, but with a little bit of collateral damage running through that to some other markets. The Europeans are not as well placed as the Americans are to get a very specific solution to specific banks. So, you know, that's causing a little bit of worry. Having said that, you know, the central banks in Europe, they can't afford to blink in terms of the inflation fight. Inflation is much higher there. Wage settlements are much higher running through Europe. And so in this last week, you know, we've seen the Bank of England they had to hike by 25 basis points to 4.25%. Going back earlier in the month when things were just boiling along in the banking problems, you know, ECB did 50 basis points, you know, up to 3. And you know, the reasons for it, well, you know, we'll get inflation readings coming out of Europe again this week. In February, the CPI in Europe was 8.5% year-on-year. Core CPI was 5.6. The expectation this coming Friday for the CPI, whilst you'll get some special factors which have dragged the headline down, perhaps to some 0.2%, the core CPI is actually expected to rise from 5.6 to 5.7. And the last CPI issues we had out of the UK went in entirely the wrong direction. They went well back above 10% year on year. So the inflation problem is much, much more acute in Europe than elsewhere, much more so than in Australia too. You know, you're getting, when people talk about wage settlements here, we're talking about sort of the paramedics in New South Wales, and you know, maybe they're going to shoot for 4s and 5s. They're shooting for 10s to 15s in the UK. This is very, very big difference in the inflation pressure which is building in these various countries. But looking out over the course of this week, it's not a lot of data coming through. I'm just very, very cautious that the bond yields have run down way too far relative to where central banks are having to set things. Now, that doesn't mean they can't push them down even further. If they do, then the sell-off that comes beyond that is going to be even uglier at some point. But we've got a fair bit of volatility ahead of us running through the bond yields, I suspect, over this next week or two.